time. It's always vanishing. The commute, the errands, the work functions, the meetings, selling your car. Unless you sell your car with Carvana. Get a real offer in minutes. Get it picked up from your door. Get paid on the spot. So fast, you'll wonder what the catch is. There isn't one. We just respect you and your time. Oh, you're still here? Move along now. Enjoy your day. Sell your car today. Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.
A little bit.
Oh, okay.
Hey, good evening, everybody. Welcome. We have got Barbara Part 3. So many people have been messaging us, asking us, when is Barbara coming back on again? And it's a hell of a story. You know, some of you heard of the extreme things that were described in the previous episodes, including Justin Bieber getting something, and also Diddy and his witchcraft. Anyway, we're going to have lots more of that, folks, coming up in this episode. And a huge thank you, Barbara and Ron. And Ron, anything you'd like to add? I'll just get I'll dump Ziggy on his bum right now.
Just to say how massive Ziggy's looking, mate. It's crazy. We'll wait till Sean gets back. But everybody, thank you for coming and joining us. Make sure you are liking and subscribing. We're going to be delving into more of the quite traumatic past and career that you went through, Barbara. And the first person that I'd like to ask you about was, I think we touched on this individual previously, but it was, and Sean, forget you, you can correct me if I'm getting his last name wrong, but it's Jean-Luc Brunel. Is that the right guy? Is
it Renal? Jean-Luc Brunel. Second in command of procuring after Ghislaine Maxwell for Jeffrey Epstein.
Yeah,
well, when I just logged on with Ron, I have been out of the loop. Yesterday, my son, we went to a football game. This morning, I had a flag football practice. So he just informed me about the whole Prince Andrew situation. I just found out barely this morning, one of the survivors were on a group chat since our last interview. I have over 20 survivors that have come forward and contacted me. We've also formed a survivor group. As you can see, I have Lisa on there that spoke in DC, and I'm in touch also with a clone. She lives in Canada. So this podcast that you guys are doing is really helping the movement, and I just want to say thank you. And we have to just keep going. And just like we did with COVID, we beat COVID because people like me, people like you, all the moms, once they came after the children, we became like lions and we were lionesses and we were like, no way. So I feel this situation, if we keep pressing back, pushing back against the royal family, keep pushing back against government, I'm going to be very outspoken now, because I feel like this is the time we really need to push back for the survivors, because if we don't, they're going to sweep it under the rug and they're going to think we're idiots and we have nothing else to say when they've only used and abused us. So I have no time for these people, and I'm going to help the other survivors move forward in a positive, strong way.
And we've got the spirit of Virginia watching over us, and she must have been smiling down from the heavens last night when Prince Andrew was stripped of his royal titles.
Wow.
Yeah, voluntarily. I mean, is that actually happened? Because the quote that I've got here is Prince Andrew is set to give up all of his titles, including Duke of York, after the King Charles reportedly reached tipping point. So hopefully that's what happened. Hopefully that goes through, because about time. But do you know what's interesting? It's interesting that it comes about 8 days after our government decides to pick a side in a certain foreign conflict, shall we say. I don't know if the timing means anything to anybody, but it's always very suspicious when emails just suddenly appear. But, you know, it's a step forward into getting full justice for what actually did take place. But, of course, after what happened with Virginia, it just sends a message as to what can happen when people come forward. And it must be terrifying. I mean, you're saying yourself, Barbara, you've got 20 survivors in your group now, and the experiences that you've had, I imagine, mirror with what they've had. And we were speaking a little bit because we'll get to the prince. Because in fact, let me ask you, since we're on that, do you think we're going to see anyone else step forward now? Because if he is no longer a prince, is he lesser of a threat to these other women coming forward and having their say? Do you think we're going to see anyone else stepping up to that, Barb?
I think this will be a big movement. I think now that his title will be stripped. Did Parliament give up the title yet? His name?
It's all in motion. He's going to lose the Grand Old Duke of York and the Knight of the Garter and all that stuff. So it's certainly all in motion from here. But he's a cockroach. Even when this story broke out 5 or 6 years ago, and you know people thought they were never going to hear from him again, he crawls out of the darkness. At the funeral of Philip, he wanted to wear full military regalia with all of his medals, right on the heel of the Epstein scandal. And these people are relentless because they maximize their money scams by being in the public eye. Once they're shelved, him and Fergie are shelved, they're not going to be able to monetize all the scams that they're running. And that's what it's all about.
What about her, Fergie?
Yeah, she's stripped as well.
Wow.
For a while.
She was very bad. I heard a lot of horrible things about her. Remember I told you Prince Andrew was supplying apartments for the two models that were Eastern European that I was in contact with. That is the fact. There was two of them. They were 21 years old. So whenever he came to New York, he would visit them both. And they always asked me if I wanted to join.
Yeah. Well, luckily, they didn't break your spirit or.
And they always said he's so wild.
Yeah, I think, like I say, clearly the sacrificial lamb has been selected from this side of the pond for the Epstein case. Yeah. And we'll see what comes from it now, because surely this has to be the floodgates open now for Prince. Well, the man formerly known as Prince, shall we say. The floodgates surely have to be open now, and this has to set the stage for at least a new level of safety for anyone coming forward, I would at least think.
I think a lot of the survivors now, if we come in a pack, like in a group, and we're stronger and we won't put our, you know, we'll keep the momentum going, because I think now what they're trying to do is saying, oh, he's given up his title, so just be quiet and sweep it under the rug. I think more survivors should just come forward, because now that his title is stripped, we have more of a green light to move forward.
I agree. I mean, at least I hope that's the case. Mm-hmm. But the history and a lot of these things don't work out the way that we hope they will, sadly. But I certainly hope this sets the stage for more people to come forward. What do you think, Sean? Do you think this is going to open up a new door for survivors?
Yeah, absolutely. The more people who come out and speak, the more others are inspired. And we're seeing that, you know, Virginia with the tip of the spear. But we've got Maria Farmer, Annie Farmer, Juliet Bryant. I just did a part two with Juliet Bryant and her mom. So absolutely, it's proliferating against these evil bastards. Wow. So let's keep this up.
100%. About to be released.
Whose book? Virginia's.
That's probably the main reason that they just did the title thing, because they're trying to get the target out of the way before it really blows up in his face.
I think maybe this is sort of a divine timing.
Listen, we're due something, Barbara, because it's been one hell of a year for evil so far. Evil have been nailing it in 2025. It's been a pretty good year for evil, I'm not going to lie. So
that's
we're chewing.
Cat
we're
Williams chewing. Said. Cat Williams chewing. Said the same thing. He goes, get ready for 2020.
I'm just saying, man. It's like, you want to line it all up. It is just like, I am watching everything I thought I knew about the world. Just every day, a little bit more, just crumbles away in front of me. And I think back to when I was about 9 or 10, listening to my granddad going on, right? And I was like, oh, it's not, I'm not just an old person now. This is, I'm actually seeing it happening. And it's a scary time. It's a scary time.
There's corruption in everything. So you guys have to remember that. Like the modeling world, there's good and bad in everything.
100%.
There's good and bad in music. It's just right now, we just want to help the victims that were in bad situations. You know, it's not the whole modeling industry's corrupt. The whole acting's corrupt. It's not that way. We have to honor the survivors and the victims of each industry. So I had a great time in my industry. A lot of people say, well, why didn't you report people? Well, who am I going to report it to? Authorities? And then what? Then my career, who am I going to report it to?
And let's be honest, these people don't have the greatest track record for leaving people alive that get a bit chatty, Barbara. Okay.
Of course.
And like, I'm not being funny. If it was me, I'm probably 6 or 7 Barbaras stacked on top of each other and duct taped together. Right. And I still wouldn't be like, oh, the bloodlines that secretly run the world sound. It's one thing to be on YouTube and expose stuff. It's another thing to be Barbara living it. Right. Mm-hmm. And we touched briefly at the start on Jean-Luc and, you know, Sean, the Wikipedia that he is, he instantly came out with just how prevalent this individual was with Epstein. You know, remind people of your involvement and how he came to be in your life, Barbara, because this is where it gets a bit mad. And the bullets that you've dodged, metaphorically speaking, is just wild.
It is wild. So what I want to connect, there was two different timelines going, because when I met Jean-Luc, I was a teenager around 15, 16 in Paris. And I always got creeped out by him. He was always pushing drugs on me. I was a little bit curvier than a lot of the Parisian models. And they were giving us, I didn't take drugs, but they were giving the girls cocaine to stay skinny. And once Jean-Luc was giving my roommates cocaine in Paris, they would go to the parties and they would come home late night, like 6 a.m., 7 a.m. The car would drop them off and they would be obliterated. And I said, what happened? And they said, we had a great time. They would come back with Louis Vuitton bags, new Chanel shoes, all kinds of stuff. And they were saying, you should just come to the party. It's a lot of fun. There's hot guys there. I never went. But Jean-Luc was always pushing me at Karen Models to attend these parties and events. And I would speak to the other girls in my language, our language, what was going on. And some of them went off as yacht girls to Monaco, to Ibiza. And in my situation, I was in a few situations in Paris with photographers when I was doing test shoots. Jean-Luc wanted me to get my book in order so I can work for Chanel, Louis Vuitton, and the photographers were all creeps, filling me up, touching me up. I would leave jobs on the spot all the time in Paris. Paris was a little bit more darker than New York because of the lifestyle. They're very free with their bodies. So Jean-Luc would always push me to do nudes. And I was pretty young. I was 15 years old.
Would you say that Jean-Luc Brunel preyed on people from certain parts of the world, whereby he went in and promised them careers to make them huge models, but then they were taken advantage of? Because that's the allegation surrounding Epstein. It was like a pipeline. He sent them over to America and the feds fast-tracked them into the country?
The feds did. Wow. So I don't know why, but they were after us Eastern European girls. They wanted us so badly. I'm not sure what it is. Maybe it's something with our DNA. I don't know. So what they would do, they would go to the families of the models and they would promise their daughters would be supermodels if they came back to the United States. So the girls would be in Paris as a hub spot waiting for their visas. And then they would be transported with Jean-Luc on a private jet to New York. I believe at that time, it was a 6-hour flight. So it was very easy for them to go back and forth. The flight from Paris, New York is very short. So for them to go back and forth all the time, bringing girls from New York, from Paris to New York, to leave them there with Jean-Luc and Epstein with their agency. They already established an agency called MC2 Models, which Epstein invested $3 million. At that time, I was planning to open my own modeling agency, and they were all coming after me because I wanted to save the Eastern European girls. I was getting a lot of threats.
Do you think the Eastern European girls, it's a mixture of the beauty of some of these women, the economic war of a promising of a better life, and the language barrier just created a perfect scenario for creating, or not so much creating, but dialing in on vulnerabilities that some people may not even have realized were there?
Yeah, he's basically a pimp for the government or the feds or Epstein. Epstein was a Mossad agent. So he was basically, they will never do the dirty work. They're going to get other people to do the dirty work for them. So Jean-Luc was the pimp. He would bring all the girls and bring them to New York from Eastern Europe. He would pimp them out to all the CEOs, all those billionaires, all the people at Epstein's condo.
And in terms of the language barrier, in Virginia's legal paperwork, she stated that on the island, which was the third allegation against Prince Andrew, there was stuff happening there, heinous stuff happening there, and that Jean-Luc Brunel, Ghislaine Maxwell, Jeffrey Epstein were all present with Prince Andrew while they were doing these heinous things. And they were joking that these girls were the easiest to do this to because they didn't speak any English. And also... And Jeffrey was thanking Jean-Luc Brunel for the 12-year-old triplets he received and commenting, praising the oral skills. I mean, how monstrous is that?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's the thing of nightmares right there, 100%.
So they're just selling them off. They're selling off all the girls. And I remember talking to a few of the models, and this is how it works, okay? They bring you over from Europe, from Paris to New York. They set you up in a model's apartment. You go to the party. They get you drunk, and they put drugs in your drink. Then they have sex with you, rape them, SAU. And then I think they check how you are inside. They check you out. And then the girls that are of childbearing age with their uteruses intact, whatever it is, if they have good DNA, they love the blue eyes. They love blue eyes. So those girls would leave New York and go to the island. And then I think there, that's what maybe they did all the organ harvesting or DNA extractions with the eggs or whatever. I think they took the top girls that they thought were high value, and they transported them down to the island, and then they were never heard of again.
You know, when we talk about the modeling, the acting, the filming industry, this is kind of like the top tier end of the money making, and almost like the playground for these elites, yes. Right?
Yes.
How much do you think?
And there's value for everyone. There's the low class models that are desperate. They will do whatever. Then you have the middle, then you have the high end. They want to categorize you. So the girls have no idea what's going on. They are thinking they are getting judged for their looks and their bodies for modeling. They're not understanding. Mm-hmm. They're getting judged for their DNA.
See, it makes me wonder, you just spoke about the hierarchy of the modeling industry. It makes you wonder how much goes on that's unseen because it's out with the industry. That is exactly what you've said, the harvesting and this side of things, because it's a scary concept. And we spoke, you mentioned earlier about how it's not all bad, you know, the music industry is not all bad. Do you think that it is all bad if you want the top tier career? I imagine that there's places that aren't as bad and that we could say are good, but if you want to be the next Rihanna, the next whoever, you know, insert model name here, whatever, do you think there is that price to pay for the $100 million contracts?
I think it's going to take you longer. It depends what kind of person you are. I'm a good person. I was handed a lot of things and I said no. There's bad people out there that have not a good soul and they're going to sell their soul to get to the top. What are you going to do when you sell your soul and you get to the top? How many more years do you have to be a slave to their system? Now, it's your decision. There's free will. So let's say somebody like Denzel Washington. I've met Denzel Washington. He's a good guy. He probably has seen a lot like I have, but he refuses to engage. He probably knows a lot. So he made it to the top. He's okay guy. He's still married, whatnot. As a model, there are models that I know that took a shortcut. So it's up to the person. Everybody is for sale. You're for sale. I'm for sale. It depends if we take the bait.
Did you hear about the allegation where Denzel reportedly left a party hosted by Diddy after a confrontation? No. The report from the US Weekly states that Denzel Washington's wife said to Diddy, "You don't respect anyone," before they left. Good. And this incident resurfaced in light of the case. I think we had a guest actually on who talked about that and got into more graphic detail. Really? But we did have to remove that video. Yeah, okay. And then the other thing is, you know, you're talking about the baby farming and stuff. Well, we recently had on Sarah McCarthy, who is writing Epstein survivor Juliet Bryant's book, and she talks about the human experiments in New Mexico, the eugenics. We've spoke to other survivors now who've said they were offering them like six figures for the eggs, and one survivor said it went up to being offered $1 million. For her eggs. And even with Virginia in Thailand, Maxwell tried to get Virginia to sign legal papers to say that she would have a baby using Epstein's sperm, and then they would hand that baby over to Glenn Maxwell and Jeffrey. So, you know, can you imagine the diabolical schemes they were getting up to? We've heard from the survivors who refused, but it begs the question as to whether some of the women took money and Epstein's got offspring out there from this baby farm idea.
Yeah. And they were looking for a certain look. I think it was like the blue eyes, the green eyes, anything with green. I don't know why. Have you heard anything? Has anybody?
We spoke to several people who said it goes back to the ancient bloodlines of the Illuminati, where they're looking at certain European DNA traces to, you know, incorporate that into their rituals and to interbreed with these people. Look how the royal family, because of the incestuous nature of their genes, brought in Princess Diana. You know, they had her DNA identified, allegedly, as a certain, you know, class of society, and brought her in to offset the you know, the damage that is done to the DNA by inbreeding.
Well, the reason why I keep bringing up the blue eyes is because I remember the girls that I was talking to, the models, they're like, my eyes were not blue enough. I have brown eyes. They didn't want me, but they assaulted me. They promised me everything. They promised me my apartment. They promised me money. And then they were told they weren't good enough, but they didn't understand what it was used for, what it was for. So they thought it was like for a modeling assignment. Does that make sense to you? Like none of the girls thought they were going to be used for their organ harvest or DNA. They thought it was for like to become a supermodel. You had to have those eyes.
Look at King Charles as well and his obsession with Vlad the Impaler and Transylvania and the bloodlines from that part of the world. And Anita has just brought up something pertinent as well in the chat about Peter Nygaard, who was he was looking to create a baby farm so that he could harvest the stem cells from his own babies or from his own, I don't know whether he's going to allow them to become babies or just abort them, but he was going to harvest the stem cells as part of his theory of immortality.
And he's from Canada.
Can I just bring up a picture of Peter Nygaard? This is the most vampire-esque.
A lot. And I couldn't remember.
Please tell us your full experience of Peter Nygaard, because we did interview his son at one point.
Well, this is very strange because I'm trying to connect the dots and remember. I haven't gone down that rabbit hole, but I remember working with him and for him. But what did he own? Did he own a fashion brand?
Yeah. He had a multi-billion dollar.
Founded the Nygaard International, Winnipeg-based company, was a sportswear manufacturer, dubbed the Canadian Hugh Hefner. Nygaard was a international clothing company that filed for bankruptcy in 2022, and then it goes into all of the crimes.
It was just sleazy on set. I just remember, but I worked with him all the time. And then somebody said, Peter Nygaard got arrested. I said, what? And this was 5 years ago. I never checked into it. And now you just brought up his name and I know him. And he was always out at Cipriani's. They had a private club above Cipriani's. And that's where Epstein was, Prince Andrew, Naomi Campbell, Janice Dickinson, and Peter was always there. And there was a group of these men that were his age group. They had like a whole section upstairs at Cipriani's. It was called Upstairs at Cipriani's. And Janice was part of the group. So was Naomi. Naomi's husband, who was some billionaire, was there as well, but there were all the models, the Eastern European models were all there. Yes. That's him. I was doing jackets for him, like winter jackets.
That is a vampire. I don't care what anyone says.
Not what he looked like when I worked for him. He looked like this. That's what he looked like, very fat.
Do you know what this is? This is when you've got all of that dodgy science, right? And then we go into lockdown. Bam!
Tale of the Crypt right there.
Bam! Oh, that is my new fever dream demon.
That's his dark soul revealing itself.
100%. 100%. Like also as well. In fact, no,
So does the stem cell that he was taking from the girls, is that why he looks so young?
That was his theory, that it was the elixir of life.
Well, look, I'm not being funny. Here's a side-by-side, okay? This is what you look like with a Snickers bar. This is what you look like without the Snickers bar. I'm thinking his science might be abomination to the entire world, but it doesn't mean he wasn't nailing the science, because
we all look like this. Did you guys see Ellen DeGeneres? She looks like that too. They all look, and Celine Dion, they all look like this. Because they're taking our DNA. Those disgusting people are taking the Eastern Europeans' DNA. These people are disgusting. Also, yeah. I wanted to tell you something else. This was another thing. Black models were top. They were very, very wanted. They were trying to. One of my friends was going to the with Russell Simmons. He has an island too in Bahamas, and she was dating him, and he would give them all acid and bring them down to the Bahamas. And I said, what did you do there? She goes, I barely even remember. But her apartment was paid for. She had a car in New York. She was always running with the socialites. Her name was Grayson, and everybody knew her. And there was another girl, Guinevere. I'm sure people know who she is. She was running with that whole crew. But she was dating Russell Simmons, and she would bring all the girls with her, and then they would all get drugged together, and they would get used and abused in his island. Does he have an island? Can you Google that? Russell
Simmons. Yeah, he did have an island down there. And he also was a friend of Prince Andrew. I think Prince Andrew allegedly visited the island, and he even dined with Queen Elizabeth.
Yep,
these are the circles him. He was moving in.
Yeah.
Yeah. So where he's not, is he on his island now, or is he?
No, he's in prison. We interviewed his son. His son turned against him. He was so disgusted by the monstrous behavior he'd witnessed over the years. Yep, he is in prison, and he's not been Epstein'd. He got an 11-year sentence, and he's been described as a monster who would not take no for an answer. He had something called a pamper party. The girls would go to the island. He would snatch their passports, and then they would they found all kinds of substances and date, R-word, pills, drinks. Yeah. And if they did not consent, they would use these substances on them. A jury found him guilty on 4 counts of S.A., one of the survivors said Nygaard wouldn't let her leave his private suite. She felt trapped, describing doors that had to be opened with a keypad code or the push of a button near the bed. One woman said, these actions have affected my life. I do not feel safe being seen. I don't trust men. I have not engaged in long-term relationships with anyone for my entire life. Lisa Haber was the lawyer representing 60 women suing him. And it's alleged that he was in a civil suit brought by 10 women in 2010, that he ran a human transportation ring involving girls as young as 14 from his luxury home in the Caribbean. Yeah.
Why did he only get 11 years?
Well, often these judges and these powerful people pay their way, and these judges, you know, give them slaps on the wrist because they don't view these crimes as a priority. They're busy locking people up for social media posts in this country and letting PDF priests roam the streets.
Yeah.
We have to stand up. Just push back. Just keep going. Just keep going. Because look, we all beat COVID standing up because the people won't stop. Even the war now in Israel and Palestine, everything finished. And people are still fighting. You know, in America today, we have no King's Day today pushing. I don't understand. This country is so backwards.
You got a question from Alexi. She wants to know, why do you think Kate Moss was so successful when she looks just like any other English neighbor girl?
Kate Moss was with my agency, Women Model Management, and so was Naomi Campbell, and they pimped her out. And that's why she was successful. Then she started to date Johnny Depp, who was another disgusting human. He is probably equal to Epstein. I can't even believe he got off. He's so disgusting. And I think it's just marketing. It's perfect timing.
Do you have a story about Depp that you're basing that on?
I have friends that have been to his house and, you know, the after parties with Marilyn Manson and him. He is disgusting how they treat women. Lots of drugs, lots of alcohol. They get the girls naked in the pool. They all go in the studio and they, you know, sing the music and get wild and crazy. I think like all those guys were there. Anthony Kiedis, all those guys are there. Anthony Kiedis is the worst. I think he has like 18-year-old girlfriend right now. Who knows? These people are disgusting.
Why do you think both political parties in America are continuing to hide the Epstein files?
I've heard that the Epstein files are sealed under the Clinton Foundation, and Pam Bondi is the one that needs to unseal it, and she is terrible. I think she's getting tested for her work. I think her and Kash Patel are idiots, and they don't know how to unseal these documents because it's sealed by the Clinton Foundation. And like I said before, I stated that when Ghislaine Maxwell was taken out of the Florida prison and she met with Congress and Trump, I think they took all the documents and they have them in their possession. And I think they took the documents and took off to Europe and dropped her off in Israel with Mike Johnson. And then Trump went to Scotland, maybe to deliver the original documents. She's not in a Texas prison. She's back in Israel.
You've got people asking as well from the other parts that we did, Barbara, if there's any stories that you left out that you remembered that you could tell us this time.
I have a lot of stories. I can go in with Jay-Z if you'd like. Jay-Z.
Yes, please.
Yeah, let's go with that.
So Jay-Z works a lot like Sean Combs. He has other people work for him to do his dirty business. I went on a birthday date with Jay-Z and one of my best friends.
Wow.
One of my best friends, he discovered Kanye West, and I have been in love with Jay-Z. All my friends can tell you I was obsessed with him. So my friend surprised me for my birthday, a dinner with Jay-Z and his bodyguard. Things were going really, really well. They were trying to get me to drink. I refused to drink because I had to work the next day. I tried to refuse a lot of alcohol because I was drugged by Damon Dash. I ended up at his loft apartment and he was coming on to me and doing bad things. So anyway, that was Jay-Z's partner in his music business. They had a partnership. They had a label called Rockefeller or something like that. And Damon Dash was his partner. Anyway, that's another story. But that night we had dinner and then the security guard asked me for my phone number and he put my phone number in his cell phone. And then Jay-Z and his security said, do you want to go out to Marquee after and go dance and have some fun? I said, sure. It's my birthday. Why not? I want to go out with you. You know, first class service. So we jumped in the van, in his Mercedes van, with my friend Jay-Z and his security guard. And inside the van was Foxy Brown and her girlfriend. And she put her... She said, sit down here next to me. So she tapped my seat for me to sit next to her. And she's like, my God, you're so beautiful. And she was basically coming on to me. And then we went to the nightclub and I started to see how things were going down. There was all the models at the table. Jay-Z security guards grew from 1 to 6. So we were there with 6 of them. They would hand their cell phones to the models. The models would put their phone in, their phone number in, like I did. And they would call them later to go to the after party. So while I was there at Marquee, I was just trying to get away from Foxy Brown. She would not leave me alone. She was trying to push drugs on me. She was trying to get me to smoke weed. She was trying to get me to drink so I can be available for Jay-Z. And wow. after that night, she was calling me for 6 months nonstop. I had to change my phone number.
Can you just remind us, Barbara, how old were you at this time?
Well, it was for my 25th birthday.
Yeah.
So I was considered, I always looked really, really young. So people thought I was like 18, you know?
Yeah.
They didn't know I was 25, but yeah.
Damn.
Mm-hmm. So I've been involved in this business since I was 10 years old.
And during that birthday party with Jay-Z, was there any shenanigans other than the predator, you know, being chased around by Foxy Brown?
When I got drugged by Damon Dash, his partner, all the same girls that were at that party were at the table that night, and they were doing very bad things at the party. It's the same girls. They have a crew. They have the same girls, the same crew that run together. There was also this girl named Natalie. I think you guys can find her. There's a picture of her with Jay-Z, Aaliyah. I think J-Lo's in the picture. They're like all laying down there at Diddy's all white party. She knows a lot, and she was involved a lot, and she was a bad, bad girl. In order for you to move up in the modeling industry, they want you to do things so you can, you know, be owned as their slave. But the girls necessarily don't realize you don't have to do that. You know what I mean? But they're just starstruck by all the celebrities, so they don't know better.
And this group of women at the table, do you feel like they were part of the grooming process? They were the ones that are maybe dropping things in drinks, you know, just to separate the talent, if you will, from the crime. Is that the sort of impression that you got from these girls?
Yes. Well, they have the girls there that are, you know, that are so desperate that they'll spread their legs for whoever just to move up. Yeah. Like one minute, you know, I worked for Victoria's Secret. You know, one minute you're working as a family unit, and then you see these newbies show up and you're like, oh, I know how you got here, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense.
And they would tell me stuff, you know, they're like, oh, I was at blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, that's great. You know, things like that. But it was the same crew that I was running with when I had my drink, when I was drugged, with the same girls. They were always there with them. You know, they were basically like just the girls that would spread their legs for anything.
And you've mentioned a couple of times the time that you were, you know, tragically drugged. I mean, that must have been traumatic in itself. Can you touch on that? Is that something that you can go into?
So I was in Scientology for 2 years, and I was 17 years old when I started Scientology. And what they do is they see how far you want to go in your acting or modeling career. So they connect you with agencies like CAA, and you have no acting experience. And then they put you in amazing acting schools, and they push you to go out there to represent their agency so you can make a lot of money and represent themselves. CAA and Scientology are very connected. And so that was something that a lot of the Scientology people, such as Danny Masterson, John Travolta, Joe Rogan was a Scientologist. You get moved up in your career pretty fast. And later, when I was a little bit older, like around 20 years old, I went to a red carpet event, and Sean Combs was there. Damon Dash was there. I will send you the pictures later if you want to upload it. But it was that night when I went to an after party, and all those people were there. My drink got drugged, and I was taken in a van with all of them to the house party. And then that's when the thing started going on. And he was married to Rachel Roy at the time. He's a bad guy.
Yeah, it sounds like a terrible guy.
And I would always see him out. Yeah, he was a bad guy.
Just want to remind people to follow Barbara at her Instagram. We've got the link. I'll put it in the live chat. And get your questions in, folks, while we're live. We've got about 15 more minutes left before we've got Charlie Seeger, Old School Liverpool Gangster Part 4 starting. So if you've got any questions for Barbara, you've got a unique opportunity right now. Nicoletta is asking, have you been contacted by investigators?
No.
You got to remember, we're talking about the top levels. No one wants this investigated. right? You got to remember.
I am represented by Tony Busby. He's my lawyer.
Big shout out, Busby. I'm just saying, if you're going to pick a lawyer, pick one with a tank. Tony Busby, okay?
Tony Busby. He's my lawyer. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm safe. I'm okay. I'm protected.
We had Tony Busby on, and that was zapped as well and cited.
You had him on?
Jay-Z
lawsuit. Yeah.
And then it was cited in the Jay-Z lawsuit, and we had to take it down.
Oh, yeah. Only go, Sean.
He's a great guy. You know, he was really trying to take down Jay-Z. I gave him my testimony, and I think they went after him.
Yeah, the powers that be were too strong because there was so much more at stake than Diddy. All right, so Disco 1000, have you heard anything about Mick Jagger's girlfriend, fashion designer Lorraine Scott, who died prematurely?
No.
Nope, I've neither.
But he's terrible. He's bisexual. He slept with everybody.
Including David Bowie, apparently.
Yes. And there's so many of them. They're disgusting. They sleep with whoever.
Okay. So
also, it says. I mean, the only thing I can find about what you're saying there about Mick Jagger's girlfriend is from 2014, talking about their split before her unaliving. So I don't know if you're reading the right report. Whoever was asking that there, maybe you've got something mixed up. I'm just saying.
After the questions, I wanted to ask you guys a question about someone.
Ask us now. Go for it.
Have you guys heard anything about Ron Burkle?
Is he a director?
No.
What's Ron Burkle?
I need to see Ron Burkle's face.
Is it doing music?
Yeah, no, yeah, yeah. He's a music mogul, right? He's one of
the American businessmen.
American businessman.
Right, I'm still trying to figure him out. He was
always this guy.
He was always with us.
He's a little rascal.
That's him. He was always around. And I went with him. I was with Michael Jackson and him and my friend who got human trafficked. He was always with us. I'm trying to figure out why is he always around.
I'm just stacking up some pictures of him here that are just painting. Mm-hmm. The friends that this guy keeps, right? Babs ain't the one, mate. It ain't the one.
He was a fundraiser for the Clintons, and he flew on the Lolita Express with Jeffrey and Bill Clinton.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. Sorry. Sorry.
That's
to
like
go
a full. Whole nother episode I can tap into. But
yeah, sorry wild. To go full Ron there. But yeah, Ron Burkle on Soho House. I can hear Paula M in the back of my of mind.
Yeah, I was at the Soho House in London all the time. So he was always there. And he's disgusting. They would do bad things at the Soho House in London. It was like a human trafficking place for sure. I mean, that's where my girlfriend always went. I had to go rescue her like 20 times. She would be drugged in the bathroom on the floor. Listen, after someone slept with her,
we might have to make that the focus of part four. Abs.
But he's bad, and he lives in Malibu.
Oh,
so Natalie's asking, do you know anything about George Clooney and Amal getting involved in dodgy ritual parties?
Well, I had a situation with George Clooney. I worked with George Clooney for GQ, and he asked me out on a date, and I said no. And then I ended up at a restaurant with my girlfriend, who was human trafficked. We were at Nobu 57 uptown in New York. And then George Clooney and his friend, I'm not going to say who it was, were sitting behind us. And she ended up going home with his friend. But he's disgusting.
You got a question from LC. What about Meghan Markle and Ron linked through Soho House with Marcus Anderson as a handler?
Well, I'm not surprised about that. I'm not surprised about that. She is disgusting. She's probably one of Epstein's girls, Meghan Markle.
Well, you know, there's a very close friend of ours, Paula M., who would probably highly agree with you on that narrative, because
it's disgusting. And Harry, when we were in, when I was in London, he was always at White China with all the models and this and that. He was such a bad boy, but he was being, he was doing all kinds of drugs. He was wild. But we were all, we thought he was so hot. I even thought he was so hot. I was like, oh my God, he's so cute. But he was wild. I was like, you know, that's a wild guy. I wouldn't even date him if somebody
tried. He's talking, he's talking about Harry. Talking about Harry.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was it the
was
prince?
Like our age group. He's but like our it, age group, huh?
Was it not the fact that he was a prince? Was that not a massive allure?
No, like if he but was he's just a normal so dude. Cute. Yeah, but he was also like so cute, like a bad boy. You know what I mean? Like we all thought. No. Yeah.
No. Prince yeah. Harry is your level of bad boy, Barbara. Come on.
Sorry. Come on. That's how we felt.
Damn. All right. Okay.
Did you ever see Prince Andrew on the dance floor? Not sweating, of course.
Mm. He was always on the dance floor.
With soggy armpits.
He was sweaty, yes. Always. He had on a, he always wore like this baby blue, like a collared shirt like yours, but baby blue. And you can see the sweat marks all like unbuttoned. The shirt was unbuttoned.
Do you know how full of yourself you have to be that guy at the party who sweated through his shirt and still thinks that he's got, like, still got Riz. It's wild. It's wild.
So Barbara, what do you make about the email leak that just came out this week whereby Prince Andrew is emailing Epstein way after he said, told the BBC that he'd split with Epstein because of the conviction, and was saying, referencing the picture that with Virginia, we're in this together, and something along the lines of, he couldn't wait to have more playtime with Jeffrey.
Guilty.
What does playtime mean?
Playing with the ladies, like he's a little boy, like a little child, like a 12-year-old, playing with the ladies.
Well, that would be underage ladies.
Yeah, of course. Look, if somebody in that status, if you start at a young age and you're already in kinky business at the age of 13, 14, can you imagine a grown man by the age of 40? They've had this whole timeline of when, of course, they're going to want younger. They get bored. I mean, bad men, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
They get bored.
I mean,
it becomes a power thing for them.
I agree with you. There must be a certain demographic where it just comes down to boredom. But do you feel like there has to be a grander plan behind all of this when it comes to baby farming and, you know, dialing in on people's DNAs and things like this? It goes so beyond the rationale of just the bored billionaire, you know?
I'm wondering that myself. What is going on?
Mm.
What is going on? Why do they want the DNA of Eastern European models? And then the agencies pimp them all out. My agency was giving us dates with Epstein. They were talking to him.
Wow. I mean, here's the thing. How do you even deal with that? I mean, it's one thing if you're Barbara with her head screwed on her moral compass and all the rest of it. But in the back of your mind, viewers, just imagine the vulnerable, like, long queue of women who've fallen trapped to this, and it's just, it's so sad. And men, of course, as well, Barbara, as you've said.
Hmm?
And it's not just women, it's men as well.
The poor men. You guys, the men, it's worse. It is worse for you guys. This is what they do. They get these honeypots. They get the honeypots and they lure the men to the parties. I'm sure that's what happened to like Leonardo DiCaprio. Once he got to the Diddy party, that's it, it's over. Now he's blackmailed, that poor guy. And now he's so messed up in the head, he can't even date a normal woman his age. He has to date 20-year-olds, you know?
You got a question from Disco 1000. Barbara, were you ever offered yacht holidays?
Yes.
Do they ask all of the girls who are modeling?
Yes. I was offered a lot of money to go on the yacht parties, $150,000 for the weekend.
And what happens on the yachts?
Whatever goes. Whatever you can imagine. I mean, my friends went. It was bad. But they came home with Chanel bags. We were on, there was one event I was on. Rihanna was there. She got in a big fight with Chris Brown and because he was hitting on some other girls. And they had the helicopter. They took her off the yacht and took her to Paris. We were in Saint-Tropez. And yeah. And they got in a big fight because he was with some girl. But there was a lot of bad things going on that boat.
And just so everyone understands, I mean, when you said there came back with a Chanel bag, there was a report this year, 22nd of May, March, sorry, about the potty parties in Dubai and the things these Instagram models and OF models are getting coaxed out to Dubai. And as you've said there, you know, $150,000 for a weekend. Let's be honest, that's nothing. In a billionaire's pocket, nothing, right? So no. It really comes down to, I honestly think there's people that would have been sat around a table discussing how to break Barbara.
The thing is, the agency is taking 20% of your $150,000.
It's just that, but that's just the great circle of the transportation business model, right?
So who knows how much the agency really negotiated your fee? They could have gotten $1 million, and then right. They're telling you it's $150,000.
Yeah. Yeah, they'll present
trust me, it's all shady. That's why I'm here talking about the modeling industry, because these agencies, Women Models was the agency I started with. They were with Kate Moss, with Naomi Campbell. They gave me a credit card to go shopping with, but they wouldn't pay me for my jobs that I finished. I did a canteen job for like hundreds of thousands of dollars, but they never paid me. The accountant got put in jail for embezzlement. And the owner of the agency, Paul, was also affiliated with Prince Andrew, Epstein, and all these people. He gave the top models like Naomi Campbell and Kate Moss to all these people. They are just a pimp agency. All the modeling agencies are pimp agencies. All of them. They have the working girls like myself. And then they have the ones under that they pimp out, send them to wherever. These modeling agencies are terrible. Karen Models was Jean-Luc. He went to New York and then he opened up MC2 Models with Epstein. Epstein invested $3 million. They were transporting all the Eastern European girls to the island.
Yeah, she's with Busby, Vincent. She spoke about that earlier. Vincent's asking, have you heard of the documentary by Mouthy Buddha? Bored rich men, blackmail, controlling influential figures.
No, but that sounds interesting. Can I take
you got a few?
Yeah, I'll. I should be able to send you the link.
I want to watch that.
You got a few people asking, have you heard of Meghan Markle yachting?
I haven't heard of her yachting, but I know she's a social climber and she'll do whatever she needs to get where she needs to. How in the world did she end up with Prince Harry?
And Paul Rem's asking, asking whether you heard of anyone who got hurt yachting?
Not hurt yachting. They just got a lot of money in bags and they were basically essayed by CEOs and billionaires, old men that are sleeping with them.
Right. That's what happened. We could speak to you all night, Barbara, but unfortunately we've got another guest, in a minute,
okay.
Charlie Seeger, part four. I'm putting your Instagram in the live chat right now. And if you're watching on replay, you can follow Barbara on Instagram. Is there anything you'd like to say in conclusion, Barbara?
I just want to say to everyone, I want you guys as Sean's followers, I want you guys to keep asking questions, keep pushing, keep researching. I want you to all be outspoken and I would love more survivors to come forward. You can DM me on my Instagram. Feel free. And we have a survivor group. There's like 20 of us And we're going to start doing big things for the survivors and coming together for a lot of healing. But you guys just keep pushing back, keep asking the questions so we can all start connecting all the dots together and really just keep going. Don't stop. Just keep going. That's all I can say, because look where we are right now. The reason why probably Prince Andrew came forward is because so much pressure is on him right now.
Exactly. Let's keep the pressure up, folks. Much love wherever you are in the world. Have a great